This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
We interrupt this evening's broadcast to bring you
the pilot episode of Shoot from the Hip with Adam and Dudders.
Hello.
Hey! So what's going on? Wait! I thought we were doing damn art majors today.
Yeah, I thought we were too, but unfortunately, Aaron decided to take a vacation.
So it's like the professor is off the island and Gilligan and the skipper are left to hold down the fort?
I'll be honest, I've never ever watched an episode of Gilligan's Island, and I really have no desire to, so I'm not quite sure I understand your reference.
Well, there's these people.
I understand.
On a 3-hour tour.
They brought
a lot of clothes for a 3-hour tour so that they could have costume changes. And there's this chick, Marianne, who's really good looking, but she was always overshadowed by Ginger, who was the movie star.
Did they have any alcohol on that island?
They had coconuts that I'm sure they could ferment.
Well, luckily, we do have alcohol.
We do.
Adam, in our normal Damn Art Major fashion, however, this is not Damn Art Majors. I just want to
let our viewers
know.
They're not viewing anything.
Our listeners know. Not to get confused. This is a subset.
It's an adopted child. A one-off.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, a little different. But we're gonna keep this regular. We're gonna do what you drinking?
I am drinking an Anchor Steam beer from San Francisco. This is just their ale. It's got the usual things on there. The government warning.
Well, I'm rocking a George Killian's Irish Red. I'm sure I've drank that on Damn Art Majors, but you know what I've never done? Drank it on Shoot from the Hip. That's right. This is a whole new beer with a whole new segment. You know what makes Shoot from the Hip a little different than Damn Art Majors? Other than...
There's no Aaron.
Other than that?
What makes it different?
Where are we right now?
We are outside.
We are outside.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, you can hear ambient shit. There's birds. There's squirrels. They're hanging out. What was that? I didn't even know what that was. That was awesome.
There was a squirrel mocking you.
Oh. Bastard.
But anyway, we are indeed outside testing our equipment to prep it for what we've got coming up in 2 weeks.
2 weeks for the big Heroes Con episode of Damn Art Majors and No Big Two Comic Review.
Nope.
So we will be in Charlotte at the convention that is being held by Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. Come on out. There's going to be a lot of writers, illustrators, cosplayers, toys, comic books, a lot of us running around. Should be fun. And we might actually have something for you if you do find us. What will we have, Dudders?
Well, I'm assuming, other than a hug and a high five, some stickers.
We will have some stickers.
By the way, I'm not giving out hugs at all.
Oh, I'm sure Aaron will do the hugging for us.
Thank you.
But yes, we will have the stickers. They are on their way. Don't you fret. They're on their way.
I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
And you guys can, if you want a sticker, let us know. We can hook you up and... We ask is you spread the word about Damn Art Majors.
Yeah, get our listenership up to 200 per episode. Let's average 200 an episode.
Hey, don't give those stats out. You mean 200,000?
Yes, 200,000.
Because, I mean, fairness, we're at 150,000, and, you know, we don't have Hulu as a sponsor, and we don't have, you know, Nature Box or, you know... any of these big podcast sponsory people. But maybe one day we could. And if you tell them we only have, you know, under 200 listeners, we probably will never get a sponsor. So we are at 150,000.
You have the ability to edit that entire section out right there.
You know what? I like to leave things a little unfiltered, if you haven't noticed, in the editing process.
But I want to say something real quick to our listeners now. You all are probably sitting there thinking, now wait a minute, I tuned in and I was expecting, you know, Damn Art Majors.
I want my money back.
Well, listen, people, this is hard work. It is hard getting together, the three of us, and putting this show on. And you know what? Sometimes not all three of us can get together. So we decided this week we would do a little bit something different, as we said earlier, do the Shoot from the Hip with Adam and Dutters. And one of the reasons we can do this is for us is an opportunity to kind of get together and quite literally just kind of just shoot from the hip and have just kind of an open conversation and discussion, and maybe take a little bit of a break from all the art talk. Not that we don't love it. But it's nice to it's nice to take a break. And also, a little teaser here. Later on in the episode, I'm going to be introducing a brand new segment.
Ooh.
that hopefully I will be able to bring through to back into the damn Art Majors universe.
Yeah,
that'll be exciting.
Sneak peek.
Yeah, that's right.
It's an issue zero.
We're testing it out. We're testing it out with just the two of us. That way, Aaron will keep his comments to himself.
Yeah.
Aaron, if you're listening to this, I apologize.
So, speaking of conventions, as we were just a moment ago, I just came back from one. As of last weekend, I was in Tennessee at the Fanboy Expo, which I guess there's several Fanboy Expos along the East Coast, but this was their
I saw your Facegram pictures.
My Facegram.
Yeah.
And my Twitter Facegram. Anyway, had a really good time. Met some, once again, awesome people, as I say every time. Sold some prints. Sold some collectible-y stuff. And met some celebrities.
So, all right. That brings me to my first question for you, Adam.
Sure.
Which celebrity of the celebrities that you met, which we will list them later, was the nicest? Was the best celebrity in person?
That's really hard to say because Doug Jones, who played Abe Sapien, Billy the Zombie from Hocus Pocus, you may know him from Legion or various other movies. He's also on Falling Sky right now.
Basically, anytime they need a tall, skinny guy to get in a lot of makeup,
they get Doug Jones.
He
was the most personable celebrity I've ever met. The dude, like, some celebrities have their Perel bottle and whatnot in, you know, next to him because they get tired of shaking hands and they always clean their hands. Doug is all up in your shit, hugging you, playing with you, dancing around you, making you feel like $1 million, and he was just an absolute delight. Like, super cool, super nice, intelligent, very charismatic. The guy, I don't know how many people watch Walking Dead, but the guy Axel from the prison with the curly Q mustache, who totally gets, he wins, I don't know. He comes by and interrupts the conversation because, like, Doug's got a whole line of fans and totally, like, cuts everybody off and starts talking about, you know, some work with Doug. And Doug's looking around just going, like, it's great, man. Oh, that's really great. Glad to hear the news. Great, great. I have a line. Like, what are you doing? So he tries to, like, introduce him. Like, hey, everybody, it's Axel from The Walking Dead. Anybody? Hey. And then, like, guy just kept going. And Doug's just like, all right, like, great. Can you talk to me later? Talk to me later. Hey, I love you to death, but can we do this later?
So basically, Doug put the fans first.
Exactly. He really did.
Awesome.
And then he made sure, because we were the next in line, so we had to sit there and, like, you know, kind of wait for Axel to finish his thing. And then he apologized profusely and made sure to spend a little extra time with us because we had to wait for this conversation. And so that was, like, super nice of him. And super cool.
So there you go, folks. Celebrity does not poison everybody.
Now, what I will say, and there's a whole story here, but I did meet someone that I always wanted to meet. My life is a little bit more complete now that I met this particular actress. Jewel State from Firefly.
Mm.
You may also know her from Flash Forward from the Disney Channel. So there's
not so much the Disney Channel. I never had cable growing up.
Fair enough. You poor, deprived child.
Whatever.
So
I'm all right for it.
So for whatever reason, this company was there at Fanboy doing blood donations. And it had been a while since I had donated blood. To throw it back to the whole theme of damn art majors, actually, the last time I donated blood was in college. So it's been a while. And so I took it upon myself to donate blood.
I donated blood recently, but we'll get to that story later.
Yes, we will. So I'm sitting there. I'm donating blood. And who comes up to also donate blood but Craig Parker, who was one of the main featured elves in Lord of the Rings. So I'm like hanging out donating blood with an elf from Lord of the Rings. And that was pretty cool, because where else is that going to happen?
They accept elf blood?
Apparently they do.
Interesting, interesting. Does it grant everlasting life?
We shall see. For one lucky,
yeah, for one lucky person out there, one lucky car wreck survivor, they will get.
Well, it makes me wonder, like, too, if he used that line, like, you know, my blood is elven blood.
Probably not. I bet you know that whoever has to take his blood just sits there and rolls their eyes and like, yeah, whatever, man.
So, I hear over the PA that Jewel State is leaving for the day. And I'm like, crap, I'm plugged in, I got the wires and everything. Luckily, the phlebotomist, the person who takes your blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Comes and unhooks me, wraps up the gauze, gets me going, I'm ready to go, and I'm like, sweet, maybe I could catch her right before, you know, she takes off. And the girl goes, grab a snack before you leave. Take it slow. You know, you did just get blood. You're going to be really woozy. I'm like, I know what I'm doing.
I don't have time to take it slow. Jewel needs me.
So I run over. I grab a Star Crunch because out of the whole, like, buffet table of snacks they had, Star Crunches are my favorite.
What is a Star Crunch?
It's the little Debbie thing that's chocolate and covered in Krispies.
Oh, yeah,
and it's got
the,
like, kind of cookie thing.
Nope, no, I know what you're talking about.
I love Star Crunches. I could eat a whole box by myself. So I grab a Star Crunch and I just start taking off with like this big purple badge of honor. And I'm like racing over to Jewel, just like trying to keep my composure. And I'm like weaving and wobbing and just kind of like trying not to fall.
Now, people, there was no one in his way. He was just weaving and wobbling because he had suffering from blood loss.
Exactly.
So he looked drunk. So, I'm just setting the scene here.
So I finally make it, and Jewel's like finishing up with her last verse, and I'm just like, I made it. And every celebrity has like an agent or a representative, or we call them handlers. And the woman comes up to me, and she's like, okay, well, you here? And I'm like, I just gave blood. I need to meet you. It's kind of bucket list. Got to meet. Questions. Firefly. And she's like, okay. So I get to take a picture with Jewel, and she's like, I've heard people describe other people as wonderful, right? You've heard that, like, oh, he was wonderful, she was wonderful. I know what that means now. I know what that means. Like, Jewel State was wonderful. And maybe it was because I'm, like, you know, lacking a pint of blood and I'm a little, like, loopy. But I'm just like, she is terrific.
Well, so I kind of feel like you got a little bit of a fanboy crush going on here.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
But if you watch Firefly, you would too. So, you know, we're just kind of talking and whatnot. And I geek out on her to, like, the like 10th degree, because I don't mention Firefly, no. I don't mention Flash Forward, no. I don't mention Stargate Atlantis, no. I mention Space Cases. Do you remember Space Cases?
No.
Exactly. Space Cases was an awesome show from when I was a wee lad on Nickelodeon. About
once
these...
again, dude, I didn't have cable growing
I know, that's why I'm explaining it to you.
NBC and PBS and the WB. Those are the three stations I grew up with.
So, Jewel State was in a show called Space Cases. It was about a band of rascal space alien kids that go to a flight, like, space academy, and they hijack a ship, and they get lost in space. And her character was from Saturn. So, like, she had, like, rainbowed color hair. There was a girl from Mars who was, like, pink. Zach, the Black Power Ranger, was, he was the human. And, like, so the whole point of the show was that, like, these kids got lost in space with their principal and their teacher, right? So I ask her, I'm like, what do you think ever happened to the kids on Space Cases? And she looks at me, and she's just like, you know, nobody asked me about that show. She's like, I've had very few people ever ask me about that show. She goes, I was on it for one season, and then I got picked up by the Disney Channel. And so that was cool. So that was very geeky and fun, and she told me a little bit more about it. And yeah, anybody like Space Cases out there? Let me know, and we could totally geek out.
That was terrible.
What?
There was too much. Too much geek. You went too deep into the archives of geek.
Yeah. I suppose. But anyway, it was really nice meeting her. And I also met, and you're ready for this one, Kevin Conroy.
Really?
Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman from the animated series as far back as 1992 up until Arkham City in 2012, I believe, played the voice of Batman. And
is that his natural speaking voice, or does he drop his voice?
Very similar.
Okay.
So, like, you ask him a question, and you're pretty much being answered by Batman.
Nice.
Which
nice.
Is...
Because I know, because, like, you know, with Mark Hamill, the Joker is obviously a completely right. different, it's an actual voice.
You know what, though? It's not too far off from his speaking voice. He's got a little theatrics in
yeah,
his
Yeah, he puts
right
more,
speaking
you
voice.
Know, but then you've got, like, Kara, his name escapes right now, the guy who does the voice for, you know, Fry and half the people
Bill...
on... But anyway, you know, guys like, you know, you get people like that that really, they change their voice... For
Billy West.
The huge... Yes, thank you. For the huge plethora of characters that they play. But then you get the guys who they really are like that... They're that character.
Yeah.
And they play... They do that one character. And... I was just kidding. You know, just... Is that, you know... Would they just go ahead and stick with their speaking voice?
Well, Kevin Conroy's voice is very similar to his Batman voice. If you listen to any of his, like, interviews and whatnot... It's really not a leap. There's just a little more brooding in his voice when he does Batman. But I was talking to him. He went to Juilliard before Juilliard was Juilliard, if you will. He was roommates with Robin Williams and was in the same graduating class as Kelsey Grammer.
I did not realize he was that old.
Yeah, he's not a spring chicken. I wouldn't say he's old.
Well, no, I mean, but that puts him in his 60s.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was... Maybe it's because his headshots haven't been updated since the 80s.
Probably not, but then again, he is a voice actor.
Yeah,
and I believe
really
he does do, like, Broadway and theater. Like, he's not... You won't really find him in movies and whatnot.
That, honestly, I would just want to sit down with him and hear about college.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we talked about briefly. So it was like, you know, asking him what it was like living with Robin Williams, and he would not get into the nitty-gritty.
Well, I mean, you're living with one guy who went on to be fairly famous for doing cocaine, another guy who also fairly famous for doing cocaine, Kelsey Grammer.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it famous? Well, is that famous for that?
Well, he was. It was known that he had a cocaine addiction during the filming of, I believe, Frasier
and X-Men 3, Last Stand.
That never happened. But part of that was associated with Kelsey Grammer dealing with the murder of his sister.
Oh, right. Right.
It's so odd that I know things like that, but I don't know things about space
cases.
Cases, whatever.
I'll have to show it to you. It's an amazing show. I'm probably overselling it. I am kind of seeing it with my child mind, not my, you know, adult mind. To kind of sum up the last celebrity we kind of had a run-in with, hung out briefly with Leatherface from the last Texas Chainsaw movie.
Nice.
He said Jen had perfect hair.
That's not something you want to hear coming from Leatherface.
Well, at least he didn't say I like your face.
He's just a real big guy.
I mean, he looks like a motorcycle dude. Like you know, like Doug Jones and Kevin Conroy. Unless you knew who they were, you would never know who they were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't know them to be celebrities unless you've done some research. The first time, we didn't even know it was him. We just thought he was a, you know, Tennessean, you know, motorcycle dude. And then later we saw him at his booth, like, oh, shit, that was Leatherface.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I also saw, I think it was Jen took a picture with Deanna Troi and William Riker.
Oh, I failed to mention that. I don't know them from Star Trek. I mean, I know them from Star Trek, but I don't really know Star Trek.
I know William Riker as the voice of the... bad guy, cannot remember his name right now, from Gargoyles.
Yeah.
That short-lived cartoon series.
He had 8.5 by 11s of that character from Gargoyles.
Are you serious?
See,
that's what I'd rather have.
Really? Than Star Trek?
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, Gargoyles was amazing. The nice thing about Gargoyles is that, I believe it was Disney. Disney sold a couple episodes to, like, the WB or something, so I was able to catch them like as rerun whatever
episode
or something.
I think it was on Fox Kids, wasn't it?
It might have been Fox Kids. It was something. I was able to, because I do remember watching, and I loved Gargoyles. Man, that show is awesome.
I knew of it. I just never watched it.
No, it was
great.
Do
you remember the old Mighty Ducks cartoon where they were ducks from outer space that came down to Earth to play hockey?
Yeah, they also did the Mighty Mouse, or the Space Mice, whatever.
Biker Mice from Mars!
That's what it was. Biker Mice from Mars. And then there was, I think, there was that Space Ape one. It was something Sapien and the Captain Sapien and the Space Apes or something like that.
It sounds vaguely familiar. This was in the time...
They were putting out a cartoon for everything.
Yeah, well, not
I mean,
only
come on,
that,
Street Sharks.
Well, exactly. So back in the early 90s, they had a hit with a little cartoon based off a little comic book, based off a little movie and all that, called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And they thought, well, kids are eating the fuck out of this, like, ridiculous concept. So let's go ahead and greenlight a bunch of new projects where we take seemingly bizarre things, add more bizarreness, and extreme action to it and see what we get. So we got Biker Mice from Mars, Street Sharks. Remember Extreme Dinosaurs?
No.
Of course you wouldn't. You didn't have cable.
Wouldn't X-Men come out? No. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was before X-Men.
Cartoon-wise? I think it started a couple years
before. I don't know. But anyway, I want to get to another story. Personal tale of my own blood donation.
You did give blood.
I did give blood to the entirety of my shop floor.
Yes. So this is starting to become a habit with you to a point of becoming a new segment.
What injury do I have now? yes, folks. For those of you that saw the pictures that my lovely girlfriend posted on Instagram, I did in fact injure my thumb and forefinger on my right hand. It was quite an unfortunate event. Anyone out there who works with power tools, it only takes a second. Remember, kids, safety first, always. Take it slow. There was no reason to ever rush anything. I was following all safety precautions, but I just had it. I mean, really, all it takes is 1 second. I was using a table router, running at about 12,000 RPM, using a dado bit. I had a fence set up. I was using a push stick, pushed a piece of wood through, cutting a dado into it. And next thing I know, the wood was no longer there, and my thumb and forefinger of my right hand were not in the blade, but it happened so quickly, I don't even recollect my hand hitting the blade. I just remember seeing blood. Just unfortunate amount of blood everywhere. But luckily, folks, I have been here before. So I grabbed a towel, immediately applied pressure, raised my hand over my head, proceeded to turn off all the lights in the shop, lock everything up, and go wait outside. And I was lucky enough that one of my coworkers also happened to be there. Because this was my day off. No one else was...
Oh, yeah, you would have been alone.
I was alone. But one of my other coworkers showed up in the nick of time. Like, actually exactly when I walked outside. And was able to give me a quick ride over to Rex emergency room. Which, by the way, lovely service. Lovely people over there. They're very quick and very professional. They stitched me up. I got about 20 stitches in one finger and 10 in the other. So about 30 stitches total in the two fingers. I got 20 in my forefinger. The blade, the dado, anyone out there knows what dado blade is. It basically went around the top of my finger, removing about 2/3 of my fingernail. And dicing up my... We will not be posting any pictures.
Yeah, I was going to say, unlike the last photo op of Dutter's messed up hands, he showed me the pictures, and I'm doing the world a favor by not posting them.
If you're really curious and you really want to see...
Don't be curious.
You can send Damn Art Majors an email, and I will personally send you the pictures with a warning, but you must, in your email, say that you understand that these are gruesome pictures, and I'm not responsible or liable for any loss of food that you have recently taken in. On my thumb, the dado blade pretty much went straight into the pad on my thumb, all the way down to the bone, but not hitting the bone, removing pretty much all of the tissue and skin that you would normally have on the tip of your thumb, just below your, like, on the opposite side of your thumbnail. So basically, I pretty much have the Grand Canyon on my thumb and the, you know, the Colorado River on my finger. But
I have a thing about fingernails and digits and things like that. Like, I can't deal with that.
I will say,
like, I'm sitting here squirming. Like, this nice little bistro chair outside. I am like,
I will say this,
wigging out.
Like, the one thing people ask is that, you know, did it hurt? Stuff like this happens so quickly that it actually doesn't hurt. It actually feels like if you were to punch a wall and you get that throbbing feeling in your hand, that's what it feels like, the actual injury.
Sure.
And I also, I'm unfortunately I know what to do in this situation and immediately applied a lot of pressure. So anyone out there, something like this happens, apply pressure. The first thing you do, just apply a lot of pressure, because I actually hit the pulse in my thumb. For any of you that know anatomy, there's a pulse that terminates in the end of your thumb. I hit it. So this thing had a nice little spurt fountain thing going. It was very Monty Python-esque. It's only a flesh wound. But I'm currently going through my recovery. I had my stitches taken out on Tuesday of this past week. And I will have another checkup tomorrow.
Your stitches are already out. That was pretty quick.
7 days.
Oh, that's not
seven
bad.
Days with stitches. And now I've got Steri-Strips, which are made by 3M, because 3M makes everything tape-related.
Yeah, they really do.
Yep.
Yeah. Even like tapes, like cassette tapes.
Yeah, 3M makes it all. If it's a strip of some material, it's probably made by 3M. But yeah, so I'm currently wearing Steri-Strips and doing my best to limit the use of my right hand, which, by the way, folks, never injure your dominant hand. It is the most obnoxious thing ever. I've had to pretty much learn how to do everything with my left hand, which sucks. My left hand is, to put it nicely, slow. But I am...
That's a horrible thing to say about your girlfriend.
That's terrible. That's so terrible. But I will say that it's definitely been a learning experience. And I hope that people out there can learn from my experience and not end up this way. But always,
so
always take
you,
your time.
What can you do to avoid being you?
Don't work 10 hours a day in a wood shop.
Well, that should be like rule number one.
Yeah. Honestly, the only thing...
Like, what did you do wrong? And what do you seem to continuously do wrong?
Honestly, the only thing I can think that I did wrong was I got ahead of myself.
Okay.
I was working on I was working on several pieces of wood that were all part of production. So I set the machine up and I was running the first one through, running the second one through, running the third. And I had push sticks, so my hands were protected.
Right.
Honestly, if I hadn't had a push stick, it probably would have been the palm of my hand in the blade, and I pretty much would have been out of work for like a month. Like, it would have been major tendon damage.
Right.
It would have been horrific. Like, that would have been horrific. And I probably would have like bled out in the shop. If you are working in a shop, you probably should have a partner with you. Even if they're not working, they could be reading a book.
Have a swim buddy. Just have a swim buddy.
Yeah. Have a buddy there so that way. If you do work at home or work by yourself, definitely have a phone. Always make sure you've got a phone so you can call 911 in the event of an emergency. If you want to be really safe, make sure it's a landline so you're guaranteed to have power. So that way, you know, or if it's your cell phone, plug it in. Don't keep it in your pocket because that's a distraction. The last thing you need to be doing is pushing something through and suddenly your pocket starts vibrating. You take your eyes off for a second, you cut your hand off. Slow down and focus on what you're doing. Like, that really... I was... Honestly, if I hadn't been paying attention, I probably would have lost my finger.
Right. Because you definitely have a little more seriousness to your voice on this one. Like, the first one's all, and granted, retrospect, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and you, at this point, can make fun of.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I'm so far away.
This one's so fresh in your
mind.
This
is very fresh. This is 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so you should tell this story like 2 years from now, where it's
it'll be hilarious. You know, it'll be hilarious. when I can look back and the scars have healed. The scars haven't even healed yet.
So keep an eye out for Damn Art Majors episode 264, where Dutters retells a story.
Dude, it'd be like a lot more than that, dude.
Two years? One a week? No.
Hey, we'd 58. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be about episode 262.
Yep.
Will be Dutters the finger revisit. But yeah, no, it I mean, it's one of those things, and if anyone out there does, and I do not wish this on anyone, if they do injure themselves, don't panic. I mean, if this had been my first injury, I don't know what I would have done, but because this has happened to me before,
right,
which is a terrible thing, but the fact that it's happened to me before, I knew to stay calm. I knew to just, you know, try to keep my heart rate down, keep my hand above my head, or at least, you know, you got to keep it above your heart, so that way you slow down your blood flow. I was able to calmly get in touch with my significant other to inform her that she needed to meet me at the hospital. I was able to calmly give my information to people. I mean, just try to, I mean, unless you are dying, you're probably not dying.
Well, so you make it to Rex.
I make it to Rex.
You fill out your paperwork.
Oh, no, the nice thing is I didn't have to fill out anything because my right hand didn't work. So
no,
I got to dictate everything. They got me in there very quickly. But when you're holding your, you know, a bloody rag, they do a pretty good, and they can't, see, the best part was the way I'd wrapped it up is they couldn't see anything.
Right.
I just told them that I diced up my fingers with a router. The one advantage is that very few people outside of the woodworking world would even know what a router is.
Sure.
So when you tell someone a router, they look at you and they're like, "What is that?" And then
saw.
So then you just say, then you just say a power tool, and immediately their mind goes wild with what is a power tool. And most people immediately think table saw.
Sure.
So they're thinking a giant rotating blade of death, and I'm sitting there with a really bloody rag. So they immediately are thinking maybe this guy's got his thumb off. So they real quick, didn't even put me on a scale. They just asked me, "What's your height? What's your weight?" So I could lie. I'm like, "Well, I'm a svelte 180.
Yeah.
But no, anyway, so they got me back there, and they had, they got me looked at. I had my PA came in. He took a look at my fingers.
Oh, your PA? What's his name? You got a PA?
Physician's assistant.
Yeah, you know him pretty well now.
Well, actually, I had a different PA, but... For any of you, four? Anyway.
Episode 11.
In episode 11, the fateful episode, I shot a nail into my thumb and was also taken to Rex emergency room.
Mind you, we're on episode 15, so that was 4 weeks ago.
So 4 weeks ago, I was also in Rex ER, and my PA, Patrick, my PA Patrick from the nail incident saw my file in one of the boxes. You know, they see, and he sees the name. He's like, "Oh, James," and he's like, "No way, that's the same guy. No way. There's no way." And then he looks. He looks a little bit further down. Hand injury, right hand. You know, index forefinger, and he's like, "No way, this is the same guy." Next thing I know, I'm sitting in there. I'm just like, I'm like sitting there trying to. At this point, they hadn't given me any drugs or anything. They were still. There, you know, it's an ER. So once you get back under your bed, you're waiting there for, you know, God knows how long. The curtain pulls back and I see Patrick. I'm like, "Hey, man." And he's like, dude, seriously? Really? It's been like 2 weeks and you're already back. And I'm like, "Yeah, man. You know, I just, the right hand was jealous of the left thumb. So I just decided, you know, to come on back. Third finger's free, right?" But yeah, he was just like, "Dude, man, you gotta slow down." But you know it's a bad sign when the ER staff recognizes your name and like is willing to come in and say hello.
You know, it wouldn't bother me so much if it wasn't for the fact that your like fictional idol is Tim the Toolman Taylor. And you aspire to be like
I do not aspire to have
you
this
have
injury.
All the seasons of Home Improvement on your DVD
I do
collection.
I do. It's a great show. ABC, that was another station that I got in, so I was able to watch.
Oh, okay.
Growing up. But anyway, yeah, so the PA I had this time was Brett.
Oh, that's Brett.
Brett is good.
You'll probably be hearing a lot about Brett.
Brett had excellent bedside manner.
Oh, that's
cool. So if you're ever in the ER at Rex Hospital, I highly recommend Brett. If Brett happens to walk, because, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot who you're going to get, but if Brett happens to walk into your curtained-off area, you are in good hands. He spent a lot of time working in operating rooms, and he knows his way around a stitch. Let me tell you what.
Do you think we can get Brett and Patrick in on an episode?
Probably not.
That would be awesome, though. It would be kind of cool.
Why? So Brett can regale you with the tales of stitching up my thumb and forefinger, and yeah. Patrick can regale you with tales of pulling a nail out of my thumb?
I think the listeners would enjoy that.
But anyway, no, both physician's assistants that I had did amazing jobs. Their support staff, the nurses, were absolutely incredible. I mean, for a terrible situation, it was probably the best case scenario. And the amazing thing, I am now 5 for 5. All 5 fingers that I have injured, I have not broken a single bone.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
It is continued proof that my bones are in fact made of metal.
Well, what's funny is no one had told this story yet, as far as I know. Like, Jen and I kept saying, like, what's going on? Like, Leah's not giving any details. Yep. What happened? And so I was surprised to find that it seemed like you were saving this one for the podcast.
Yep.
So that you can tell it once and then never have to tell it again.
I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of disappointment I have in myself.
Sure.
When something like this happens again.
Yeah.
And you got to think, this is the second time in 3 years. Yeah, 3 years, because this... Actually, no, 2010 is when the finger...
Are we counting the...
I'm not counting the thumb, because okay. Honestly...
I'll give you the thumb
In the grand scheme of things, the thumb injury really wasn't that bad, because I healed up from that in a week. Right. I mean, it was like a week, and I'm back to full mobility, other than it's a little stiff every once in a while. But this is the second time in 4 years that I have had a severe injury to my digits. And for whatever reason, I seem to hit them in pairs, but that's just because God put them so damn close together.
Have you ever considered taking up painting?
No.
Maybe leaving?
No. And that's the thing. What's really funny is I had one nurse ask me, and this is actually something that's really important, and I really want to stress this to anyone out there who works with power tools. One of the nurses was like, well, should you have been wearing gloves? Absolutely not. If you are working with a stationary tool that has a rotating blade of any kind, if you are wearing gloves,
it's going to get caught.
They will get caught. They will rip your hand in, and you will not be able to evacuate your hand from the spinning, rotating blade or sanding disc or drill bit, and you will not only cut yourself very badly, but you will probably break your fingers, and that would be absolutely horrendous. The advantage I had by not wearing a glove is that as soon as my brain realized what was going on, my hand was away from the tool. So that is one thing I want to stress. The only time you need to be wearing gloves, chainsaws, grinders, tools that are not stationary, non-stationary tools that have triggers on them so that as soon as your hand is off the trigger, it's cutting off. The problem with stationary tools, table saws, routers, drill presses, band saws, stationary tools like that, they don't stop for anything. And human gloves and human bone and human flesh is not enough to stop them. They will keep spinning, regardless of what you throw into them. So, especially of yourself. So that is why you should never wear gloves. And that's why you tuck in your shirt. That's why you make sure your sleeves are buttoned and tightened up. You know, clothing, long hair, all of that stuff. Gloves, keep it away from stationary tools that have spinning components. That is my two cents on that. And I do take that very seriously. Like, because you could kill yourself if you're not paying attention.
I think you're going to take that extra 2 seconds from now on to really...
Oh, definitely.
Stop. Look.
I mean, it'll be... And that's the thing is, like... And
analyze the situation before you.
And it was like, so what I was doing.
I think it's a little bit humbling too.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Because I mean, like, I love you to death, but you're a little bit, you know, steadfast. You're a little bit stubborn.
Oh, I'm very stubborn.
And so I think. I mean, shit. I was back. This is a big realization.
I was
for
back
you.
In the shop working like 3 days after sure. this thing.
Sure, and nobody,
granted, at a limited capacity.
Right. Nobody expects anything less from you. But I think you might be a little overconfident sometimes, and maybe this
oh,
was
absolutely.
A good reminder to just stop, well, that, and that breathe, is, and think before.
That is one thing the universe is great at, is humbling you when you most need it. When you sure. are getting ahead of yourself, it will just knock you down a couple pegs, just when you least expect it. But anyway, yeah, so remember out there, be safe. Safety first. Take your time. There's no reason to ever rush. Focus on what you're doing. Be cautious.
Yes.
Be cautious. And don't screw up like I did. Learn from my lessons.
Yes.
But anyway, so that was kind of dark. that was a little bit of a dark segment there.
I was trying to keep it light.
Yeah. Well, actually, okay. On segments and keeping things light.
I'm just saying, when you get hurt, it's supposed to be funny dudders.
I'm too close to this one. Yeah. I'm too close. That's why there's actually no pictures of what my fingers looked like immediately after.
Oh, you said like your stomach turned and it.
Dude, yeah. It was.
Based on what you showed me, like I had to leave the room. Yeah. I could not look
and
at
the,
these pictures.
The pictures
they were
I showed,
bad.
The pictures I showed Adam for all of you out there. The pictures I showed Adam are pictures after I had stitches in.
Right.
So things had been bundled up, but prior to that, it was. I mean, I made hamburger look good. But anyway, so.
Oh, hey, if I could take a moment. So the next episode, 16, I'm putting together a new segment where we're going to have listeners questions.
Excellent.
And we're going to answer some listener
questions. Any
questions? Yeah, sure.
Any questions?
I don't really like art, life, love. Pursuit of capital gain, whatever.
We're definitely not the people to be asking about pursuit of capital gain. But
we're employed.
We are employed.
If you have questions, please, we welcome them. Hit us up, damartmajors@gmail.com. You can find us on the Facebook, damartmajors on Facebook. You can tweet us at damartmajors. And, or you can hit us up individually. So... We want to know. If you got questions for us, bring them.
Any questions. All questions.
Yeah, I don't
like
care.
If you want to know how to change the oil on your car, we'll answer those questions.
Now, I will say, if we have too many questions, your questions may be cut, so don't sit there and be like, oh.
But if they get cut, we will take the time to answer them in email form.
And if we get multiples of the same question, then the likelihood of your question being answered, more likely.
And if you don't want your name used on the air, then what you can do is give us a name you'd like us to call you. Pick your own name. So that way we
that
don't...
That is the beauty of the internet.
That is the beauty of the internet.
You get to pick your own name.
You get to pick your own name.
I would not have given myself my current middle name had it been for the internet.
Evelyn?
So, it's close. Not too far off.
Anyway. but no, on the topic of new segments.
You got a new one today.
I do have
I'm
a new one.
About this. I want to test. Be a cool,
I want to test this out. This is something I came up with earlier this week, and I think this could. Now I'm not saying this is going to be as good as Spider Facts. Everyone loves the Spider Facts, but I'm hoping this will be. This maybe close to being on par.
I don't know.
With that.
I think people like truth be told.
All right. I don't know.
Well,
anyway, I'm hoping we're going to test this out, see what people think, and hopefully maybe it'll make it into the damn art major's
the
world.
The repertoire.
This, I'm not sure what to call it yet. I'm still working on titles, but this is, I'm going to call First Glance Book Reviews Without Having Read the Book. brought to you by me, Richard, aka Dutters. Today's book is The Golden Hind, which is a lovely book here. First impressions, it's large.
It's gotta be like over 1,200 pages.
Oh, easily. It is. I haven't even opened this book.
No,
yet,
it's a black book. Well, with it's a gold seal.
It does. It has this gold.
It's a pirate ship.
Actually, this is the Golden Hind. This shows you the ridiculously random knowledge that I have. The Golden Hind is actually Sir Francis Drake's ship that he's took almost around the world.
Sure.
I don't remember the exact dates, but his ship was the Golden Hind. Hind is actually a female red deer. Yes, this is the weird random knowledge that I know. And this
I thought
is
a female deer was a doe.
No, this is another term for a female deer.
How many do we need?
Tons. English language, it's crazy like that. But yeah, the Golden Hind, it's got this lovely, like, faded red on the spine.
Who wrote it?
No, it's Lamson and Smith. Okay. Apparently Norton is the publisher. It's an older book, and I'm actually going to crack this cover for the first time here. So, right off the bat, it has a beautiful aesthetic value.
Sure.
And by the way, folks, books, totally art. this is my way of bringing some art into this.
No.
Okay, excuse me.
No. You leave that at the door.
Anyway.
This is shooting from the hip, damn it.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm shooting from the hip here. And so we're going to crack this spine here. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. We've got some. This has been annotated, this book,
ooh,
apparently, by Mary Elizabeth. She was Herth, but then she got married and became Mary Elizabeth Moffat. She was originally from Homestead, but then she moved to Lewisburg.
Once again,
The Golden Hind. We have a lovely print of Queen Elizabeth here on the cover page. The Golden Hind, an anthology of Elizabethan prose and poetry. So this isn't even a story.
No.
This has probably very little to do with Sir Francis Drake. From what I'm gathering here, this is a bunch of poetry, and it's English, it's Victorian, so I'm assuming that I'm not going to know half of what they're saying. I'm probably barely going to be able to read this thing. But we'll get some sample. We'll take a look inside.
Sure.
Here later. And I was right. The publishers are Norton & Company from New York. So it's prose and poetry. It's written by a bunch of other guys in the Victorian era. But let's see. This is selected and edited by Roy Lamson and Hallett Smith from Williams College. Thank you, guys. And this book is first edition from 1942.
Wow.
So this is an old book.
It's
printed in the United States of America for the publishers by Vale Ballou Press. Yep. So this is New York, New York. This is the first edition. So, the preface, the first line in the preface is The Golden Hind is a volume of Elizabethan prose and poetry.
Wait. I thought you were going to predict what the book was about, not actually tell us what the book was about.
Well, I can tell you right now what the book's about. It's about Elizabethan prose and poetry. Because the front title page says prose and poetry. Now, honestly, what it's probably going to be is Victorian era, so it's probably going to be like here's some Shakespeare here, and here's some other dead guy here. In fact, let's just randomly open a page.
No. You know what I think it's about?
What do you think it's about?
The Golden Hind?
It's about a guy who
sat on... It's about a woman with the sweetest ass.
No,
it's about... golden.
It's about Midas wiped his own butt.
King Midas touched that...
No, Midas...
that booty, and he turned it into solid gold.
I think that's technically Hiney,
though. All the people came to see the magic that was the Golden Hind.
That's Hiney, though. It's just Hind.
Same difference.
No, it's completely different.
Same thing. That's what it's about.
Okay, all right, here we go. It's Midas. He went and touched a red deer. Female red deer.
There you go. Not a doe. So it should be called the Golden Doe.
But it's got a boat on the front. So it's a voyage. It's a journey. This is a book, a journey through poetry. Because we already read that part. We already know that. That's been spoiled for us.
It's definitely one of those epic poems like Homer.
Definitely not Simpson. But let's go with a page that's got some annotations on it here. So that way this woman who's
I don't even know why you're going to even read it. We already told you what it's about.
Well, let's get a... But it hath been an old said saw, and not of less truth than antiquity, that wit is the better if it be the dearer bought, as in the sequel of this history shall most manifestly appear. It happened this young imp to arrive at Naples, a place of more pleasure than profit, and yet of more profit than piety, and very walls and windows whereof showed it rather to be the tabernacle of Venus than the temple of Vesta. I do know this, Vestas are virgins, and Venus, God of love, maybe? I don't know what's going on. I think they're going to a whorehouse.
There's an imp, which is a little...
I think this is foreshadowing Game of Thrones.
Yeah, dude!
This is totally about Game of Thrones.
Totally.
Like, we got the imp.
Tyrion's
we've got
imp?
Some.
Yeah.
We got some virgin... We got...
We got the stag.
The lady
stag, which is...
No, this is totally... And I lost the page. There were annotations. I totally just lost the page. clearly, this is actually... George R.R. Martin stole all of his stuff from the Golden Hind.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Only I think he misread it, and he read the Golden Hiney, which is why he pretty much wrote a book about murder and sex.
Yes.
Yeah.
We still love it.
And we still tune in. but no, I think that, I mean, obviously, something about going to some whorehouse or something. I don't know. I'm not even sure what I was reading. There were some English words in there. Abandon, then, the base and viler clown. Lift up thyself out of the lowly dust. Now, I have to say, right now, the way they spelled lift is L-Y-F-T. The way they spelled up is V-P.
What?
Thy is spelled T-H-Y. Yes, this is Old English, and it has been completely translated. It has been completely, there is no U's, there are V's, because I believe... Well, no, there are some U's. I don't even know. So it'd be, like... So if I was to read this directly, it'd be, as an American now, with my lack of education, because of the American... Actually, I had a really good education, I guess, or anything.
Does that shit say YOLO in it? Did I just read YOLO?
Where the hell did you read YOLO? But no, it's lifed, vip, the, self, a? Yeah, that's right. Self has it. Self always had an E on the end.
Self?
Yeah.
S-E-L-F?
No, this is self, a.
Ah.
S-E-L-F-E. So abandon then the base and viler clown, a. Lifed, vip, thy, self, a. Out of the lowly dust, and sing of bloody Mars, of wars, of geist. Turn thee to those that wield the awful crown, to doubted knights, whose woundless armor rusts, and helms vinbrusened, waxen, daily brown.
Right on.
Old English, man. Old English is good stuff.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Thank you. This was actually a poem by Piers. I don't know. Hold on. There's some notes down here at the bottom. And something to do with, let's see, 46. Perhaps, okay, who even knows?
What do you call this segment? What are we calling this segment?
This is a look. We'll just call it like a look inside. Notes on books I haven't read. Or reviews of books that I haven't read.
Dutter's book report on books he hasn't read.
So what I'm gathering from this Golden Hind is that it is a foreshadowing to what occurs in Westeros.
Sure.
Clearly.
I'm sold.
I'm pretty sure there was some lewd context from that first passage I read. It's only 846 pages. They're pretty thick.
Oh, okay.
It's an older book, so the pages are fairly thick and heavy. It is indeed a compilation of...
Look at this. Mary here, left all sorts of notes.
Oh, yeah, no. I will say this.
Oh,
she,
these pencil marks.
She has done much more than I will ever do as far as reading this book goes. I'm not sure I recommend this book to anyone. Unless you are a
huge Game of Thrones fan and need to know what happened before.
Or you are an absolute fan of Golden Hineys.
Yes.
And
who is not?
I'm pretty sure that, honestly, every page I turn to in this book, there is a word that I have never, ever seen before. And, there's a guy named Peter Bembo. That's entertaining. But no, I really, it is... Or words that you just don't see used anymore, like circumspect and, beguiled. People use beguile, beseech. It's impressive how
I beseech you, don't.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's. I mean, it's an impressive.
I beseech you, please. Have if this you segment.
Want, if you want to expand your vocabulary, I highly recommend the Golden Hind, a compilation of prose and poetry by Lamson and Smith, published by Norton. I'm sure you can't pick this up anywhere because God knows where we got it. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Is that going to wrap it up? Are we wrapping up the first episode of Shoot from the Hip?
We might be wrapping up the... pretty sure we are wrapping up the very first episode of Shoot from the Hip. Please let us know what you thought of my book review. Books I haven't read. I'll happily... Next time on the next episode... Or the next segment of...
Damn Art Majors.
Of Damn Art... Or the next time I do the segment of Books I Haven't Read, a review by Richard, a.k.a. Dutters, I will be sure to go with a more modern tale that I haven't read. So maybe something with less V's and E's added to the ends of words that don't really need them. anyway, yeah. Thanks for listening, folks.
We don't have a sign-off for this one, and as we really don't. Know, we're not very good at sign-offs. But, and even when we have another situation where it's just you and me doing Shoot from the Hip, odds are we probably won't remember what that sign-off is. So let's go ahead and take this time to thank the listeners for tuning in and continuously tuning in.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it, we need a sign-off. I need something to say, otherwise I won't be able to sleep tonight.
A good sign-off. Shoot from the Hip.
Pew!
Thanks for listening to Shoot from the Hip. You've now been shot from the hip.
Pow!
That's terrible. Now, we're not doing sound effects sign-offs.
Oh. All right. And
you don't need to listen to our brainstorming, so we're going to let you go.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Now you boys best keep riding, you hear?